Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, on the web at www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Greetings and welcome to The Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel Show with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pilgrim, MD. Join Dr. Jewel here each Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.net.
Everyone, how are you? And welcome to the Dr. Jewel Show. Boy, I tell you, it's just really interesting the times that we're going through. We're having so much fluctuation in our energy grid. And so if you're just confused for a minute, you know, about where we were, well, we're here, but we're waiting for the electromagnetic spectrum to calm down to hook us in. So we're here today, and we are so excited because we have a fabulous guest for us. As you know, that you've been listening to us for about the last 45 days, we have been introducing to you individuals who have incredible information to contribute toward you comprehending the science of greatness. And so as you know, we kicked off this whole series, The Science of Greatness, with Dr. Dorothy Nevels, the Dream Doctor, and she has definitely made it very clear that by being willing to just live your dreams, that is a clear indication as to how the greatness will literally come forward from you. We've also had a wonderful directive from Mr. Michael Luckman, who has been able to identify how you can overpower fear. And so he's offered a wonderful gift to us. He was so impressed with coming to teach us that he has an ongoing teleconference that convenes on Monday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time that the listeners of the Jewel Network are invited to be part of without charge. And this is usually a quite expensive teleconference on how to overcome your fears. So please purchase the book, and you can write us at info@thejewelnetwork.net, and we'll give you the email address where you can contact him to gain admission to the Overpowering Fear teleconference every Monday. I tell you, it is really, really fabulous. And so, therefore, we have two known factors that are necessary for an individual to experience their greatness. Dr. Dorothy says that we must be willing to live our dreams, not someone else's dictates, but our own dreams. And Mr. Luckman says that we have to overpower our fears. Well, the next equation in this formula, the science of greatness, comes from a very, very incredible individual. I'm so pleased to have come into contact with his work and to have read his fabulous publications. This gentleman is a wonderful author. The books are so crystal clear. I love the diagrams, etc. And his name is Vipin Mehta. We want to get this accent correct. And this is a fabulous metaphysician. So I look at the metaphysicians as working in the subtle energy fields of the human body. So I've been trained to work with the literal growth or physical manifestation of the body. That's what medical doctors do. And Dr. Mehta has been trained to work with the etheric, the more quantum mechanical components of the physical body. And as we know, we are just not body. We are literally pure consciousness. Our mind is not physical. So therefore, it's important, as Dr. Mehta has told me, that you have to really understand the energetic anatomy of humanism. And so he is bringing to us today this wonderful formula. But just before he comes on to begin to give us our instruction, let me just tell you a little bit about him. Vipin Mehta was born in India and raised in Bombay during the independent movement of Mahatma Gandhi in 1969. He migrated to the United States of America and in 1978 became a naturalized U.S. citizen. Now, Mehta graduated from Pune University in India with a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering and graduated from Northern Illinois University with a Master's of Art in Public Affairs. Now, in 1977, he became founder and chairman and president of the Mehta and Associates, Inc., a consulting firm in engineering, surveying, architecture, and public affairs. Now, in summary, Mehta has pursued metaphysical and spiritual learnings from spiritual masters and mystiques all over the world. He has been studying metaphysics since 1947. That's before I was born and perhaps many of you. And when he first learned, where he first began his teachings was with, guess what, the Honorable Mahatma Gandhi. His spiritual masters included the Indian mystic, J. Krishnamurti, Rabindranath Tagore, who was a Nobel Prize winner in 1912, Rajneesh, how can we not forget Rajneesh, Osho, Western spiritualists such as Edgar Cayce, had the opportunity to study with Edgar Cayce, Ruth Montgomery, Tibetan lamas, and other modern mystics. And Mehta has studied many metaphysical and spiritual scriptures, including those of Hindu, Buddhist, Tao, Jain, Schism, Zen, Christian, Jewish, Islamic, Sufi, and Greek teachings. So this is an individual who definitely has sought to master the understanding of religions as they have attempted to describe our quantum physical anatomy. And now we have a master here to let us know the importance of knowing this to experience our greatness. Well, hello, Mr. Mehta. How are you?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, yes, I can. How are you?
Okay. I'm excellent. I'm all excited to share with you and talk to you and share all the knowledge, and I'm very full of joy joy of sharing.
Well, I'm so...
More you share, more I will have. Go ahead.
Well, wonderful. I'm so glad that we were able to make the connection. You know, there's so many things energetically going on, and so at this time, you know, with the Earth going through this period of change in a 29,000-year cycle, this is repeating itself, we really have to focus to be able to stay connected, but guess what? We were able to do that. So I always want to call you Dr. Mitha, but as you asked me, okay, you're not a doctor, but you are a metaphysician, so... In that case, so Mr. Mitha, you have shared with me that one of the biggest issues that humankind suffers from is not really understanding their energetic anatomy. What is the mind? What is the spirit? What is the soul? How does the brain come into this play of energetics? And you have shared with me that without that understanding, it's going to be very difficult for one to really be able to express all that they can be. So can you begin to give us the teachings on just what are these components? What is metaphysics? What's our soul? What is our spirit? All of these.
Okay, let me start the word metaphysics. Meta means beyond. And metaphysics is beyond physics. And physics deals with the space-time dimension, three dimensions of space and one dimension of time, which is created by human beings. Mankind, past, present, and future. Anything beyond space-time is a part of metaphysics. I asked Dr. Jugal, where is your mind? You cannot show me on the table, but if I ask, where is your brain, which is part of the physics? I can take the photograph, I take the MRI, I can watch the weight of the brain, and I can feel it and touch it with the five senses. The brain is a part of physics, and mind is a part of metaphysics. Similarly, let me use the mind. By definition of mind, is a flow of thoughts and feelings. It's continuously flowing. So it looks like a noun, object, but it's not a noun. Grammatically, it looks like a noun, but it's not a noun. It's a verb, it's a process. Process of flow of thoughts and feelings. Similarly, like a river. River looks like a noun, is a flow of water. If there is no flow of water, we don't call it a river. If there's stagnant water, we call it a pond or lake. Similarly, like a traffic, is a flow of vehicles. If there is no vehicles are going, there is no traffic. The mind is a process of flow of thoughts and feelings, just for simple understanding. Now, anything beyond space-time dimension, first, you start with the human mind, with the flow of thoughts and feeling become intense, it turns into emotion. And same time, you come across the images. The imagination is the fifth dimension, which does not occupy space-time dimension. Suppose I can close my eyes and imagine Dr. Jewel 6 feet tall, and same time, I can shrink the Dr. Jewel for 6 inches, like a seeing in the shrinking. There is a Disney show was like that. It does not occupy space and time. And then you combine the imagination with the ideas you put together through the process and engineer those ideas and imagination, you come across the creativity, which is the sixth dimension. So imagination is the fifth word.
Right. So, Doctor, so just identify for us each dimension, because that was very important what you said, because now when you talk about imagination, what dimension is that in? So first dimension is what?
Imagination, let me go. First, space-time dimension is the length, width, and depth. These are three dimensions of the space. Time is the past, present, and the future that is created by human being. Because he has the memories and he has the future, what he want to desire. Then imagination is the fifth dimension, which does not occupy space-time. And does not occupy time. You can imagine I will be in 2050 and I can be in the year 1995. So imagination is the fifth dimension. It's a part of metaphysics. Mind is a part of metaphysics, which is space-time, beyond space-time dimension. Then you comes to creativity, is the sixth dimension. You put the imagination and ideas to all creativity happens, you have to have imagination. Like Steve Jobs, and he came with the iPhone. He must have working for so many years for imagination and engineering the idea and come with the iPhone. And then he manifested in the physical reality. There is a manifesting energy with the seven dimensions. And just for simple explanation, I give this one. Now comes the next item comes with the human being is not only a physical body. It does not, it's beyond physical body. And then you have a mind, and then you have a imagination, then creativity and manifesting energy, and same then you have a soul and the spirit. And then you have some connection with the divinity. This is all part of metaphysics. So that clarifies what is physics. Isaac Newton, he deals with the law of gravity within the physics. And now we are dealing with the metaphysics because we are human being, not human physical body. It's beyond physical body. So that is the part of metaphysics. And metaphysics is a total, is a knowledge of mind in total complexity. It is a knowledge of mind in total complexity. Same time is the knowledge of the soul and the spirit. The VA, if you go the hierarchy of human knowledge, which we live in the information age, everywhere you go, computer and telephone and iPhone and the newspaper and magazine, they continuously give us the information, which called energy information, is called information. Energy in information, that is information.
Right.
Then you go to the next level, you go, then we interpret the information. And then connect it and discern it and infer that information. And that is called intellectual knowledge. Because we five senses, we collect the information, then interpret the information, and then connect it all. That we call intellectual. That give a birth to the science, science within physicality. There are two science. One, the outer world science, which is physical science, and the inner world science, which is called metaphysical science. We will talk metaphysical science as we make further progress. And then we make analytical knowledge. You put all pieces together. They call in our regular language, connecting the dots. And they give a birth to the intelligence. And that give a birth to the invention and the technology. And science, the whatever the intellectual knowledge is being called is analytical knowledge. And the intelligence is called synthesizing knowledge. You synthesize all the intellectual knowledge together, and then you become intelligence. And that's what we call in America CIA, Central Intelligence Agency.
Right.
That is the third knowledge. That is CIA. That is the, now we've got information knowledge, intellectual knowledge, and the intelligence. They both belong to the same branch. One it goes analytical, and one goes up synthesizing. The third branch of the hierarchy of knowledge is called ESP, extrasensory perception. In extrasensory perception, as we discussed yesterday, the clairvoyance, Edgar Casey was a classic example of clairvoyance. Now suppose you may get a telepathy with me or I can get a telepathy. Suddenly I think of you and suddenly phone rings from me. I got a telepathic knowledge. Then you got a most important part of that ESP is the intuition. But intuition is already taken inside by subconscious, unconscious, and cosmic mind. And you feel at gut level. And then into, like, give an example, is the Thomas Edison. He started, got intuition, why not we electrify the whole humanity by the light bulb? And then he followed the intuition day in and day out by experimenting and experiment. Then he gave birth to the light bulb. Same thing happened to the Albert Einstein. He saw when he was a small kid at the age of 10, his sunbeam came. He opened the window and sunbeam came in his room. And he got a power of imagination. If I become a miniature Albert and sit on that sunbeam, and then I travel the whole sunbeam, then I can see the whole physical universe. And that you give idea, and then you follow, and then you come across the theory of relativity. All invention is done by intuition, and then logic and reason follow. Same thing might have happened in penicillins and all in the medical science also, syringe and those ones. Intuition happens where intuition is already taken care, and then followed by logic and reason and the rationality, experiment, 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 and bring it to physical reality. This is intuition. Then you got the clear audio, and there are so many, all five senses are clear cognitions, and you can feel the smell also, and you can feel the taste also. All five senses, that is part of ESP. Now, all the three knowledges, information, intellectual/intelligence, and ESP, are part of the human mind. But how the human mind works, and how you can change the negative mindset to the positive mindset, how to convert the fear into hope, or how to convert the anger into love or hate into love, that is the knowledge of metaphysics. Metaphysics deals with the state of mind in its total complexity, and same time is the ability to change the mindset from negative to positive. The metaphysics is the knowledge of 21st century, as the science and technology, intellect and intelligence, and information knowledge of 20th century. Unfortunately, they give abundance of science and technology. But at the same time, the human mind is the one who makes the decision how to use the science and technology. Like nuclear energy is abundance. You give the tremendous power and energy. You can bloom the desert with the gardens. At the same time, if you use the nuclear energy for the wrong abuse it, then you can create the devastation of the humanity by the atom bombs, which we see, which we fear every day. There may be atomic war between Iran and Israel, and every day we pass through the same fear. It's the human mind who makes the choice. How to change the human mind. So that requires the spirituality. That requires the metaphysics. So mind, the spirituality should be ahead of the science and technology. So science and technology could be our servants. Right now we are too much dependent upon science and technology to solve our human problem or global problem. And then we slowly, gradually, we become servant. Something happens in the underwear bomb or the socks bomb in this boot, and then you find out, you immediately run to the science and technology how to catch them. Then you TSA, when you go to airport, we have to remove the shoes and find out all investigation going over there. But they never know the root cause lies in state of mind, not in the physical form. The physical forms are there, which is a manifestation of the function of the state of mind. That where we had root cause lies, especially in the war on terrorism, is based on state of mind, because one side of group is a fanatic psychology. If you die for your religion, you go to the heaven, okay? And that fanatic psychology deep down settle in the belief system. Another is like you and me, we are rational and logical sequence. There is no combination of that. And that creates the war on terrorism. At the same time, one group think, okay, you got all nuclear weapons and all kind of technology and science, but we are willing to die for our own religion, so-called religion, organized religion. We will go to heaven. And that was creative voluntarism.
Well, Misa, I've got a couple of questions.
Can you hear me?
I've got a couple questions for you. One of them I want you to contemplate, because we're going to go right into a message. And when we come back, then I want you to give us the answer, because with you telling us now that we're not going to really be able to solve the problems on the planet until we move into the next level of our anatomy, which is known as metaphysics, and begin to deal with the different levels of the mind as you described it, I want to know then, where does God come into our beingness, into our lives, relative to this anatomical breakdown that you've shared with us? So right after this message, if you can come back and let us know, where is God's place in metaphysics? Where does that lie in our metaphysical anatomy, et cetera? And so we'll be right back. So everyone, you've been listening to the Dr. Jewel Show, and I have a wonderful guest on, metaphysician Vipin Mitha, and he'll be right back giving us more dynamic information on what is necessary to be great, the science of greatness. That's what we're talking about. Be right back after this message.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's balancing program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Well, thank you, and if you're just tuning in, wonderful. This is the Dr. Jewel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and as you know, this show is brought to you by the Jewel Network. Jewel is an acronym for Justifiably Enchanted with Enlightened Living, and we are dedicated to bringing you the sciences of life and the sciences of living, and we have been building and collecting the wisdom regarding the science of greatness. That is our destiny, each and every one of us. Very few of us are able to exhibit that to ourselves, and so we're going to look at this thoroughly and collect the data on how this can be actualized by each and every one of us. So today, giving us incredible information toward this collection of knowledge, we have Deepen Mehta, and we've been talking about metaphysics, which is the non-physical component of the anatomy of the human body. And after we broke down and identified the different components of knowledge and the metaphysical aspect, Mehta, I want you to then tell us where God falls into all this. In the metaphysical world, where is that, and what is it, as you understand it?
Let me go the spiritual anatomy of human being.
Okay.
The first part of the human body is one part of the human being, which is physical part of it, within space-time dimension. And they have done a wonderful job for the last 2,000 years, especially in the 20th century and now. They know that very, very microscopic details of a physical body. But human being is not only a physical body, it's much more than that. Mm-hmm. They have done, medical science has done a wonderful job, and so many wonderments they have done, but still within the limit of the physicality. A human being is much more than physical body. So when the infant is born, before infant cries, infant breathes, and the breath or the breath brings the life.
Hmm.
And that infant becomes old man of age of 100 or 110 and ready to die. And physician comes, which is who deals with the physical body, and finally declares dead when the old man or old woman stop breathing. Throughout the breath, there is a life energy body. The first is the physical body. Though in physicality, we say when we breathe 20% oxygen and 78% nitrogen and 2-3% remaining gases. But beyond the breath, there is a metaphysical or life energy is going on there. If there is no breathing, there is no human being. It's just physical body. So second layer of the human spiritual anatomy is the life energy body. And that the whole yoga science is developed. And even the chi in the China and the acupuncture, acupressure, and those are developed through that based on the second body called the life energy body. Or you can call bioplasma, or so many names are given, but we use the life energy body. The third body is beyond that. There is a call, now you are listening to me, and I'm talking to you, and I'm listening to you, and and I'm interpreting you, and you interpret it. That is at mental level. At mental level, there are the flow of thoughts as well as feelings. They work together, and same images, and then interpretation, and then intellectual knowledge, and intelligence, and sometimes ESP at mental level. And third body of the spiritual anatomy is called the mental body. In Sanskrit, we call it Manamaya Kosha. There are five separate words in Sanskrit. One is the first one, physical body is annamaya kosha, the food, the physical body, the food which we eat every day. Life energy body called pranamaya kosha, whose food is the breath. And the manamaya kosha, whose food is the thoughts and feelings and the images and these are the four. And that mental body is the one who is called in real metaphysical world who have a functions. And those functions are manifested to physical body. As mind speaks, the body acts. Now this is, if I put in your language, your mind is a subtle body and the body is a gross mind. And body and mind are connected through the bridge of the life energy body. There is a bridge. If there is no life energy, there is no breathing, mind cannot communicate to body, and body cannot communicate to mind, which you use the nervous system, motor senses and sensory senses, nose and the motor nose, if you use the brain when we discuss in the future. And that is the mental body. And that mental body is a tremendous, is that we have a, divided into three classes. First is called conscious mind. You are listening to me and I'm talking at conscious level. By in the evening, 11, 12 o'clock, midnight, before midnight, we feel so tired, we're ready to go to bed. And that when you go to bed and the sleep time, we experience the subconscious and unconscious mind start playing to the dreams and a lot of communication. So second part is the subconscious mind. One is the conscious mind, and second is the subconscious mind. And subconscious mind we use, that belongs to this lifetime. When I was born till now, whatever I collected in childhood and adult age and young adult and mature adult, whatever information I collect is part of my subconscious mind. And some people who carry from the unconscious mind. Now, there are two groups of people, and the Western people do not believe in reincarnation. And the Eastern people who believe in reincarnation. Either way, those who are believing in reincarnation, they create the, bring the information for unconscious mind, and they use the word deja vu. I meet somebody and suddenly something happens to me and develop a deja vu. Unconscious mind starts burping out of yourself like an earthquake comes out of it and start that connection. There is unconscious mind. And there is another mind beyond, there is a higher conscious mind, who has all knowledge of your journey of your life from this lifetime and previous lifetime, and he has all storage of information. And beyond that, you call collective unconscious, or you go on to next one is a cosmic conscious mind. That is called divinity. Cosmic consciousness we call divinity. We usually use word divinity, so no discrimination, God versus God, Goddess, because Western word you use the word God. In Eastern world, they use God and Goddess. There is equal respect to feminine energy as well as masculine energy. And mm-hmm. God is like a masculine energy. Now, beyond the third body, the mental body, there is another body. And I'm sitting, I close my eyes and look at the Dr. Jewel. And around the Dr. Jewel, there is an auric field is there. And that auric field may have a different color. Somebody is brown and somebody is a red color or violet or any indigo or what different auric field is there. And that auric field filters to the physical body from the top. And that is we call chakras. Chakras, usually those who attend the yoga class, they know about chakras. Chakras in English word is the vortex of energy. Vortex of energy. And they come to etheric field through the auric field. And auric field goes to the etheric field. And etheric field it goes to auric field, and then you come descend down to the physical body. The seventh chakra is the pineal gland, and they call crown chakra. And then you descend further down to the sixth chakra, to brown chakra. The crown, that is the one brow chakra, brow. And then you go to throat, and then heart, and then you go to the solar plexus, and then you go to sacral. And then it is the tip of the spinal cord, coccygeal, what is the root chakra. And each energy goes, and each chakra is its own function. Each chakra is its own function. So that is called the fourth body, etheric energy body. First is that physical body. That is the fifth one. Now we go to the fourth one, and now we go to the fifth one. The fifth one is deals with the soul and the spirit. And then higher consciousness and truer self. Now, truer self is you are neither body nor mind. If you go deep meditative stage, you start realizing the I, the quote unquote I, ego, I, or self, I drops are you. They're neither body nor mind. You're just a self, yourself. And then you start communicating with the soul. Soul is a feminine energy where all creativity happens. And the spirit is the masculine energy which manifests. They always work together. Soul and spirit always work together. And there is the ability to manifest. Soul always communicates through the language of images and the feelings. And the spirit communicates through the power of will and take action. Whatever creativity is created by soul is like a couple. They are working together. And then you go to higher consciousness. And
Mr. Mita, hold on. Okay, because you've given us a lot of energy and information here. We have questions. People want to ask you questions here, but also, too, I'm going to get the questions in, but also, too, I really want you to also give us examples of how do we know when our spirit is acting through our body versus our soul. Okay, so
okay.
I want you to just...
That's what I'm trying to define. In the general public, in consensus reality, they use the spirit as an independent entity, irrelevant to the soul. That's why I changed the reality. The soul is a feminine energy, and it is a pure feminine divine energy. And spirit is the masculine energy. They work together.
They're never separate.
Like a husband and wife, you marry lover, they are lovers, okay? Soul always wait to be found out by the spirit, and spirit always look for the soul. Let me give crude example. When I was young, at the age of 21, we go on party in India. So we have this separate group of all ladies are dressed up and sit in one group, and men are in different groups, and they meet each other. And the women are there waiting to be found by the men, like in the dancing. When we go for dancing in the 70s. The male has to go and ask, request the female to, can you dance with me, like that. The soul always waits to be found by the spirit. Boy always look for the girl, and girl is wait to be found by the boy. Nowadays the situation changed, but I'm just giving when I was young in 70s and 80s, that is the soul always have come with a tremendous creativity. I got an idea of so many creativity. But same time, spirit has to come and manifest this creativity. Soul is a pristine, clear energy of divinity, divine energy, called, let us use the word, goddess energy. And spirit is the energy of the divine, pristine, clear energy of God.
Mm.
And God and goddess combined together, and that creates the whole physical universe, okay? Now, Now, we are coming to the major difference in consensus reality and seeker. I'm a metaphysician. I'm a seeker. I'm a sadhak. Look. In concert, average men, if you ask, they always tell, all organized religion always tell, that God created you, is right? But in reality, you are not by the divine, you are of the divine. Divinity is already within you. And that was the real meaning of religion. Religion, if you say it, comes from word Latin word religar, realigning yourself. When you realign your five bodies, physical body, then you got life energy body, the mental body, etheric body, and the blissful body. Blissful is nothing but a joy. You directly communicate with the divinity, which we call the cosmic consciousness. You are of the divine, not by the divine. Organized religion always talk, you are by the divine. God does this, God does this. But divinity is right down, deep down within you. You have to remove all the layers of the veils of covered over the divinity, and that to create you have to realign. So realigning is the real meaning of religion. They were all organized religion based on the principle of belief system.
Realigning.
They're all beliefs. The Christian belief system, Hindu belief system, and then you got the Jewish belief system according to their scriptures, and then you go to Christian, then you go Jewish, and then Judaism comes, and then Islamic beliefs, and that creates the conflict in the global family, because the belief system will be deep down in subconscious mind. They become very strong. And let me define what is belief. Is a belief is a pattern of opinions played again and again, and it turns into conviction, and that becomes a belief. And this lies in the subconscious, deep down in subconscious mind, as well as an unconscious mind. and that creates a conflict like an Islamic terrorist group. They have a deep down belief is there. They may be PhD, they use all logic, they may be scientists, but deep down belief is there. If I die for my own religion, Islam, then I will go to the heaven. And they become ready to die with all the suicide bombing effort. I'm just using the suicide bomb, extremist people.
Wow.
So now we have the power. There is a shift of power. The power lies in the choice, which is a part of conscious mind.
The power of choice
you have, you may be experimenting, you have made a choice and change your belief system. Okay, according to whatever the life script you write is. Otherwise, this life script is written by others.
Okay. Mr. Mita, you have callers, so
yes.
People want to talk to you right away. So why don't we do this? We have another message from our sponsor, and then we're going to go right to the phones for people to ask you questions. So we'll be right back, everyone. This is fascinating, isn't it? We'll be right back after this message. Okay, no message. All right, well, are we ready for our calls? Our dear engineer?
Yes. Hello?
Yes. Our dear engineer, are we ready for our callers?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Well, I'm ready too, but our engineer, I think we may be having some more technical difficulties. There have been some interesting electrical difficulties here. Well, as soon as our engineer is able to hook in with us again, then we'll go right to the phone. So everybody, hold on. Dr. Mita is going to be available for you in just a minute. You can call us at 347-215-9531. And as soon as our engineer can hook us in, we will be talking to you. So in the meantime, while the engineer is working on the board, Dr. Mita, you talked about choice, okay, and you keep saying that the choice is the key. Now, we've talked about this concept of dignity also, and I heard you bring that word in when we were talking about the interaction between the soul and the spirit. But now, say more for us about choice. Choice, would you please?
Yeah, choice, let me say that every human being is given basic raw materials to craft their own reality. The basic raw material, everybody, human being given the raw materials of choice and decision, which lies in conscious mind. Then there is another raw materials given beliefs and attitude, which is part of the subconscious mind. So anything what you see here and that, there is immediately reaction or response. And they choice and decision, beliefs and attitude, they work together, they generate the thoughts and feeling. So there are six raw materials. The beliefs and attitude is part of the subconscious mind. Choices and decisions are part of the conscious mind. And that generates the thoughts and feeling. Okay? These are raw materials.
Okay.
Then we talk about the crafting tools afterwards. The choice lies in conscious mind. When Sigmund Freud came about 150 years, he said power lies in subconscious mind. And he was right at that time. But there is a shift of power. Power lies in conscious mind. I made a choice to come to America and grow and put my efforts and same time pursue my spirituality. So I came here. Now choice has the power. Now if you see the balance of power, usually subconscious, you go to psychologists or those people, they say subconscious mind is 8 times powerful than the conscious mind. It's true. But the subconscious mind, the beliefs and attitude, do not like to make new choices. They are stuck with the old choices.
Hmm.
Like I born in the Islamic family or Christian family, or born in Hindu family, I'm stuck with my Hindu belief. But if I use the power of choice, I can go and change my belief system and become open to receive all of the belief system and take the best out of it. Okay? The choice has the power to go in subconscious mind and change the belief. And
right.
Choice changes the beliefs, it changes the attitude. And that creates the changes the feelings, and that changes the thoughts. And then, because you made a choice to what you want to become, now you've got new paradigm of thought. The future creates the present in the backdrop of the past, because I have a dream and I want to manifest that dream. That is my future. Now, because to manifest that dream, my choice, and all I make in present, whatever the decision I make, it, they contribute to my choice toward the manifesting my dream. The future, which is dream, creates the present in the backdrop of the past.
But right.
In consensus reality, average people, the past creates the present, pushing you toward the future. Because past is all based on the beliefs and attitude, and they create the present. And according to you make the choice and decision, beliefs and attitude dictate the choice and decision, and then move toward the future. So all successful people use the word science of greatness. They
right.
use the science of greatness lies in the power of choice.
Right. Exactly.
Right now,
let me ask you this.
Born in the poor family, and he can become a great scientist, and at the same time, he become a great inventor. I'm sorry. And then he become a successful people. The power lies in the choice. Okay.
Misa, in your wonderful book here, Global Healing, Awakening Spirituality, Change the Mindset, Change the World, I'm looking at these wonderful diagrams you have. They're so interesting. I love that. On page 92, I see that you have like two triads hanging from a fulcrum, just like a scale, literally. And you talk about can make a choice, the conscious mind, and then you have cannot make choices, subconscious mind, and then the unconscious mind. Now, I look at people, for example, in the Eastern world, especially the very heavily indoctrinated Islamic world. And, of course, many of the younger people, because I see you have a time scale here relative to age, about making choices, that they appear as, for example, Egypt. I had the opportunity to go to Egypt before, just 2 weeks before the big change that happened that now has changed Egypt forever. And my higher self told me to go to Egypt so I could observe it like it was before the change would come. Now, I didn't know what the change was that was impressed upon me. I thought it was going to be a more geological shift, that either the sands were going to shift, an earthquake or whatever. I did not know that it was a reaction from the people. So, therefore, I recognized that one of the things that was so interesting is that there's such a energy field around keeping people in the same consciousness that they presently are in. And so how does an individual give themselves the freedom to make new choices when the environment is so gelled and concretized with the past present?
Okay, here is the Egypt, since you are talking of Egypt. Now, what change? Change can be negative and can be positive.
Yes.
Anything you do reactionary, it can be negative change. Anything you do responsibly, that turns into positive change.
Because
I did, the whole secret lies in the change, that if you do reactionary, because I don't like this, so I want to throw you out. But without preparing a plan, so what will you want to do in the future? That is a reactionary change. And when you take the reactionary change, it goes negative. We are finding in America also same thing, for different level. And anything you do with the response, secret lies in the whole mantra, the whole end of each book I give in the mantra. I create my own reality, and I'm responsible for what I am.
Exactly.
And I'm master of my destiny, not a victim of it. All secret lies in the word responsibility. The more I become responsible, more secrets will be revealed to me. More I blame, the secrets which I know will be taken away from me. Because moment most changes happen, as well as similar thing in 1980 in Iran, they think they create a big change, but it's reactionary. And all history, so this, if you see the French Revolution, and there is immediately after certain, there is a counter-revolution happens. Same thing with the communism, Bolshevik Revolution in the Russia. and they throw out the jars and then become communists, and the whole country took 70 years to come out of the communism. Any reactionary thing, it takes the negative change. Any responsibility, with the responsibility, it takes the positive change. And same thing, hope also can be false, and hope can be, or can be true. But let me define hope also so you can get the idea. Because most of the political people use the hope, hope, and they think is a positive word. Hope can be a false hope. Let me share the definition of hope. Hope is a child born out of the expectation as a mother. It's a masculine, feminine energy. And anticipation is a father. Is a masculine energy. When anticipation and the masculine, feminine energy expectation work together, and they give a birth, and that becomes a child. If I have expectation, but I have no anticipation, it turns into false hope. I have anticipation, but there is no expectation, that is also false hope. They have to work together. Suppose like you and me, when we send, and I send you the information with the expectation, you will be interested in call me. And then you call, responded to Anna, and finally we come and today we are discussing it. The anticipation is the anticipation is not an action, it triggers the action, right? And then anticipation triggers the action. They work together and they work together and they give a birth to the hope. And that becomes a true hope. Otherwise, all the bunch of words have no substance. Then I think book number 3 defines very, very detail about the new vistas of hope. It takes you to the human hope and takes you to the luminous hope, and then it takes you to the soulful hope. That is the new vista. Then the fear, the opposite of fear, which turns into the hope.
Oh. Well, this is like really interesting. I think this is just so great. If I can just kind of summarize for everybody to get this, that Mita is saying that the critical factor that begins to open the gateway to allow an individual to experience their greatness is the willingness for them to choose, to make a choice. And then once one makes the choice, then we have to then look at the method by which we're choosing. Are we being responsible by having a plan that we are going to literally focus upon and execute to ensure that the choice we make is going to yield us the result we want, or are we going to be reactionary, which, for example, is what a child may do, an interesting little story. A child is upset with the parents. We had two situations here. One situation I saw, Mita, where a young girl, she was 15 years old, was very angry with her mother because she wouldn't buy her something. So her choice immediately, reactionary, she ran away. She ran away and she ran into a serious problem. She was kidnapped and she was placed into sex trade slavery. And that young lady was missing from her home. They were looking for her for 3 years. And finally, when she was allowed to have access, so they kept her literally quarantined in a physical facility for 2 years. She was never allowed to leave the building. And then the third year, she was allowed to go outside to carry on this sexual activity. And the first time they let her out on the street, she said she ran and she ran. So she said she don't know how far she ran until finally she just said that she just kind of collapsed. And then that's when wherever she was, the people, you know, helped her up off of the sidewalk. And she gave them her name and what she remembered about her family, where they lived, and the past telephone number, because after 3 years, she didn't know if all of that had changed. So I think that's a vivid example based on the teaching you've given us today about allowing this energy field called emotions, okay, to be the catalyst to stimulate us to make change without having a plan. Is that correct? So we run into problems.
Okay, I'm going to a little bit extend it, okay? Extend it the choice.
We got 2 minutes because I want to talk about your books, okay?
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead. Complete it.
All right.
Okay,
well,
2 minutes.
Before he makes the extension on there, because you can see this Nita is prolific and he is full of knowledge about the metaphysical aspect of our beingness, and we need to know this. So I think that almost ensures me that you're going to definitely be back. But I want you to be aware, my listening audience, that he has fabulous books, Global Healing, Awakening Spirituality, Global Healing, Thinking Outside the Box, and this is wonderful, and Global Healing, New Vistas of Hope. And so, therefore, they're just so well written. The diagrams in here are just incredible. They are really center focus points for you to really contemplate these very complicated and mystical concepts that up until this time were never really made clear to the general public. And so he's revealing to us just decades of knowledge and wisdom that he's distilled and purified to make it very clear for us so we can rapidly glean this information and take it into the 21st century with us. This is just a real masterpiece and a real gift. And tell us, Mita, very quickly before you give us your edition, how can we acquire these books? They're fabulous. What's our website?
It's available at Amazon.com as well as BarnesandNoble.com. And they can contact me on Vipin Mehta.
Okay.
Vipin Mehta, my website also. And we can send a signed copy also. Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com.
Okay, wonderful. And so, therefore, we have just a few minutes left. And callers, don't worry. You're going to get a chance to talk with him. Please go to Barnes & Noble and get his book, or you can go to his website, Vipin Mehta, VipinMehta.com. And order them directly from him. Wonderful.
Or you can go to my Facebook.
Okay.
Author Vipin Mehta.
Okay. Author
Vipin Mehta.
Okay. Author Vipin Mehta.
Mehta.
Okay. Facebook. That's his Facebook. Okay. So give us the edition real quick. We got a few minutes left.
Okay. The Science of Greatness.
If you are a doctor, God gave you the doctor degree, so you know you get yours from high above here. We got ours from another person, so please wear it, okay?
Okay.
Okay? Go ahead.
Okay, the science of greatness lies within you. By making your own choice and change the beliefs and attitude you carry, so you write your own life script. You are the author of your own life script by making your own choice. Then you also become performer of your life script. Usually in the reality, the life script writers, like a Hollywood movie, the script writers are separate and performers are separate. The life script is written during the childhood, adolescent age by the institutions and college, university, religious institution, organized religions, family, friends. And then you become just a performer. When you use the power of choice, you can rewrite your own life script. So you are the author of your own life script, and same time you are a performer of your own life script. That is where the science of greatness lies. Greatness is already within you, only you have to awaken that one.
Exactly.
And that is the inner science of going within you. Everything is within you.
Ah, now that's the key. Now that should be a whole nother presentation. The science of going within. Oh boy. So you're the master of that, I know. This is probably the hallmark of all the wonderful information you got from all the wonderful mystics that you studied with. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that is a wonderful. I do agree with
you. Yeah, that's fabulous. So yes, so without question, Mita, we have to have you back because definitely the science of going within, that's the key. We make the choice that then allows us to begin to walk the journey, to be great, and to open that. So thank you so much for being with us. And remember, everyone, Barnes & Nobles, or you can go to vipinmesa.com for these fabulous books. And we will see you next week. And thank you so much, Vipinmesa, for coming. We love you for this.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Jewel Network. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.